Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
We're going to be talking today about porn. And so I want to say right at the get-go, as a bit of a trigger warning, that we are doing this. So if you are here as a visitor today, and this is your first time coming to Wellspring Church, then well done for choosing to visit a church that talks about real things. Because we are a church that are committed to talking about real things in a real context, in hopefully a helpful way. So this might not have been what you're anticipating, but nonetheless. If we can have the next slide up, which is a trigger warning sign. I'm doing this because I know that there are people in the room for whom this will be an uncomfortable conversation, but I assure you I'm going to make it as accessible as possible for you. And I want to encourage you to remain undefended towards the Holy Spirit, but guarded against the enemy. Because my heart is not to trigger anyone, intrigue anyone into something that would be ultimately destructive and harmful, but to help us all join in with a conversation that Jesus is inviting us to join in with, that he is in the middle of. So please remain undefended to the Holy Spirit, but guarded with your spiritual armor on so that this does not become a trigger in any way. I've said that there we have an opt-out for youth, but I also want to ask you one personal favour, please. We want to get the message of Dignify out because it is already out, but we don't want to do it attached to my name. We just want to create a platform for Dignify, not for me. So my request is, when this begins to go public, even after today, please do not tag me, link me in any way to any social media profiling of Dignify. I want to stay as anonymous as I can for at least 4 years, if possible, in order to get my kids through school. And this is a really important thing for me because it's really important for them, because what we're talking about and what we're doing is actually off on a different level to anything we've ever been involved in before. So I just would like to be as anonymous as I can for as long as possible, and I'll trust the rest up to the Lord if that doesn't work. Okay? So please don't tag me in anything. Thank you very much. Okay, before we really sort of jump into talking about porn, what I want to do is I want to frame it in the foundations of what God has designed and created. Because God is interested in our sexuality. He is interested in our maleness and our femaleness and how we come together and make babies and have fun. He's interested in all of that. And so we want to look at a biblical perspective before we have a look at, we'll have a discussion about other stuff. So in the beginning, we get the Genesis narrative capturing how God establishes things for us. And I'm just going to bring a few verses to your attention and just remind you of some stuff a lot of you will know. In Genesis 2:25, we can read this. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. There were absolutely no barriers between them, nothing. They were both seen and able to see each other. There was no sneak peeking. There was no, you know, shame attached to this. They were completely and utterly at ease in their nakedness together in the presence of God. And that is important because this is how he established things. They weren't like just comfortable in their vulnerability because they weren't vulnerable. They were completely at ease. But there's an important factor that we can see in Genesis, and that is that love creates a framework for freedom. And this is what I mean by that. There was a framework to what God established for them. And in Genesis 2, we can read this in verses 16 and 17. The Lord warned him, "You may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." They had a huge amount of freedom to eat every single fruit from every single tree, except there was a loving framework that said not one of them. This particular one you can't eat, and that is the knowledge of good and evil. Now, to jump into the story, you'll remember the enemy came in the form of the serpent. And in Genesis 3, we can read this in a few verses. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat." God said, you must not eat it or you even touch it or you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. What had previously had no barriers between male and female suddenly had barriers, and they were creating clothing out of things that were not designed to create clothing for. They were covering themselves with leaves and hiding themselves. And if you go into the original language, the understanding of their covering was it was literally over their genitalia, aprons over their genitalia to hide themselves. Then because they felt this shame, because their gateway of their eyes had been opened, they felt this shame and they then hid, not only from each other, creating barriers between them, but they hid from God himself. You see, that's what shame does. Shame makes us want to hide. Shame makes us want to bring things into the secret. Shame makes us feel disgusting and horrible and not worthy to be seen. Shame shrinks us and makes us hide. But that is not God's heart. You see, the knowledge of good and evil can look delicious until you've got it. And we're all like this. Okay, so if you're a driver, you will know this. If you're driving past roadkill, you don't want to look, but you suddenly look and it's like, oh, that was disgusting. Why did I look? Or if I leant into you and said, "Can I tell you something gross?" Half of you go, "Yeah." Because we're intrigued by that which is not good. We have this inner pull. It's called sin. It's called temptation. We have this pull for the knowledge of evil. And this is what was being played out in the Garden of Eden. Now, there were consequences for their choices. There are always consequences for choices. But the consequences for their sinful choices were in the form of a curse. And when we're considering porn, which we're going to do in just a minute, the consequences of the curse are very interesting when you play the two together. So just bringing a couple of them to your attention, in Genesis 3, 15 and 16, in that whole section, we see all the consequences of the curse. But I'll read you a couple. "I will cause hostility," this is the Lord speaking to the serpent, the enemy, "I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring." Later on, talking to the woman, he's saying that he, the man, will want to rule over you. So there are two things at play here. First of all, there is hostility from the enemy to the woman. If we look on a global scale, women are persecuted to an extraordinary level. There is an absolute intention of the enemy that he is playing out, that he dislikes completely women and will attack at any opportunity. Now, she goes on to have offspring, which of course are male and female. But the thing here is not the fact that they grow up into men and women, it's the fact that they're the children. You see, there is attack on our children. And in pornography, we need to understand that there is an attack on women and children as well as men in the whole thing that is going on with pornography. And it is playing into the enemy's hands. So, we have here the men and women sinning and the consequence being played out in horrific ways. But God is loving, because God is love. And he doesn't want to leave the people as they had fixed themselves with their covering. He doesn't leave them hiding behind the hedges and the bushes in their shame with their covering. He doesn't leave them like that. He restores and redeems. And this is what he does. And in Genesis 3, 21, we can capture the father's amazing heart for his kids when he says this: "The Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife." Now, this is a fascinating, tiny little piece of scripture that we can really grab the father's heart and understand it more. more for us. Because the language, the original Hebrew for the clothing that is referenced, is not the same as the covering that was, you know, the small thing and the man-made thing. The clothing that was here, it comes from the word lavash, and it means a wrapping. And it's like a tunic that is over the whole of them. And it brings a dignity and a restoration and a covering to them that enables them to function, enables them to work, enables them to do the things that are ahead of them, and restores them back in a dignified way. He didn't leave them as they had covered themselves, because love dares to dignify. The Lord dares to dignify us every opportunity. Now, if we point our noses from the New Old Testament towards the New Testament and we head towards Jesus where he turns up, we go through a whole heap of amazing books where you can see motifs and you can see the story, the love language of Jesus coming in through every bit. And the lavash, this covering, is something that is caught up in Isaiah. But before we even get to Isaiah, you get the book of Song of Songs. And there, if you ever wonder if God loves sex and loves the whole thing that's going on between male and female there, just read that book. Maybe pray beforehand. But read that book, because it's full-on celebration of the human form in intimacy. But anyway, then we get to Isaiah. And in Isaiah, he is prophesying about Jesus coming himself. And there's this beautiful little bit. I just want to grab it for you because of the language. In Isaiah 61:10, this is what the prophet wrote. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I'm like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. And as Isaiah is going through the whole of his prophetic word and describing Jesus and what's to come, this clothing, this robes of righteousness, is the same lavash language that was in Genesis. And we have this opportunity, because of Jesus, to not remain covered in our human frailty and weakness and our sin and our shame, but to be robed with his righteousness, to be wrapped, to be dignified. This is for all of us. This is a gift for all of us because of Jesus, that we get to be lavashed. We get to be lavished in his love, wrapped up, protected, restored, redeemed, and brought into a dignified relationship with the Father himself. This is good news, right? But how come we're talking about porn when we've got all of this? How come God has invited us to start this conversation with porn? Well, just a really brief history for those who don't know it. We used to have a ministry here called Flourish. This was a Wellspring-wide women's event that we used to have a conference once a year. And in 2017, we pressed pause on that in the summer for the team to be able to press into the Father and check that we weren't becoming event-centric, if you understand what I mean, but to actually just sort of, Father, what have you got as your heart for your women and for your daughters and your sons in this town? As we were praying, there were several things that were going on in our globe, in our world, several things that were hitting the headlines that were influencing our prayers, because they were about women a lot of the time, and so we were praying into them. You'll remember these headlines. We'll just whiz them up in front of you. So Weinstein was accused of a number of sexual assaults and allegations. Then we had Kevin Spacey and other Hollywood actors who were being accused of things that were going on in Hollywood about sexual objectification and abuse. Then you will remember that Oxfam and some other big charities came under scrutiny because of what they were getting up to on the lands where they were meant to be helping people. They were instead sexually abusing the very people that they were meant to be helping. You'll remember as well, politicians came under scrutiny, some even resigned, because of inappropriate behaviour from men to women in Parliament, and so they resigned rather than deal with it in any other way. The church came under scrutiny because in some churches there was organized covering up of sexual abuses, often against children, that were happening in those places. And time after time this was happening, and then you will remember the Me Too movement was formed. And this was really people putting their hand up and saying, this has happened to me too. I have been sexually abused too. I have been assaulted too. And there was a power of camaraderie that was coming, that people were able to say, yes, this is sadly my story too. And this wave of anger and pain was coming around the globe because of what was going on. And we began to ask some questions. How do we denormalize sexual objectification and abuse? How do we help our young people have a better narrative? Because as everyone was saying, okay, this is me, this is my experience, what we began to pray and ask is, well, how can it not be normal in the future? What's going to stop us from going back to that way of living? What's going to stop us from going blind again and putting up with it and tolerating it? How are we going to change the narrative, especially for our young people, so that they can grow up with a better story than we've clearly written for ourselves? So we began to pray. And as we began to pray, we saw this kind of web. The next picture is not a proper web. It's just an illusion to try and communicate what we're talking about. We saw this web. And in this web of sexual exploitation appeared so many different things. There was sexual abuse. There was domestic violence. There was sex trafficking and human trafficking. There were a whole load of things. There was sexting that is a massive challenge amongst young people today. And the more we began to prayerfully research, the more we realized that porn seemed to be kind of a holding piece in this whole web that was generating this massive amount of demand. If we could potentially tackle the conversation around porn, could we prohibit some women being sold into slavery because we took away the demand for them to be in that place of captivity? Could we protect our children and our young people? These were questions we began to ask. And you'll potentially remember that the government was working towards age verification so that children and young people under the age of 18 would not be allowed or enabled to access sexually explicit material online, especially buying it. We know that it's illegal for children to buy cigarettes under the age of 18 or alcohol or to gamble online. There are parameters in place that protect them. But with porn, there has not been anything. So age verification was being talked about. But just a few weeks ago, while we were all running around going, Brexit, 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 there was a sneaking out of a story that was released to say that this has been cancelled. Age verification has been cancelled. They're not pursuing it. And instead, they are saying, there's a quote that will come up from Ms. Morgan, who was the digital economy secretary at the time. She was saying that basically the duty of care is going onto the porn providers to make sure it's right. Now, let's be honest, because there are some young people in the room. And let's be honest, some of us got onto Facebook and Instagram before we were 13. It was really easy. I mean, it wasn't for me. It wasn't invented when I was 13. We didn't even have the internet. I didn't even have a phone. You can just tick. And if you've got a credit card or a debit card for a bank account, which a lot of young people do, what's to stop you from just ticking saying, yes, I'm 18? We're not protecting them. And quite frankly, the porn producers don't want to protect our young children because they want their clientele. They want their money. They want their business because they don't love our kids like we do. And we must love our kids, whether we gave birth to them or not. We must love our kids. And our kids deserve better than what they are being sold as the story of what is normal, but it's not actually normal. So we deserve better. In the summer, I went over to Washington and I had the privilege of attending the summit at the National Center of Sexual Exploitation. It's a cheery conference to attend. 5 days of dark and twisty stuff, I tell you. You have to do this loving the Lord. Because it's really hard. But I drew out some stats, and I'm just going to read you some stats. You can see all of them on there. I'm just going to draw your attention to some of them. So 64% of young people ages 13 to 24 actively seek out pornography weekly or more often. You might be interested to know that the first age, that the average age where children access porn is age 11. The stats are now going down that it's age 9. The reason for that is they're given their smartphones. They're given their smartphones to keep them safe walking to school in a public place where there's other people walking to school, where realistically they're mostly safe at that time. But they're given something and put in their hand that actually has huge ramifications. That's not to best to be afraid of. It's to best to be ready for us to be talking about. A study of 14 to 19-year-olds found that females who consume pornographic videos were a significantly greater likelihood of being victims of sexual harassment or sexual assault. When we normalize something, we set ourselves up to expect it. We set ourselves up to think that this is what we should get or should do. If we normalize it for our young girls and our young boys, that this is how a real woman and a real man behaves, we are setting them up to become the victims of assault. They are innocently and naively walking in to what will be an assault. So there was a meta-analysis, 22 studies, and it's saying that basically those who are consuming porn, it increases their verbal and physical aggression amongst males and females alike afterwards. What we watch influences our behavior. We all know this. Gosh, when my kids were little, I had to ban one of them from Tracy Beaker, which was as harmless as it comes, but she was just so mouthy, and my daughter got mouthy, not this one, but we, you know, got mouthy. And so it's like, well, you're not watching that if that's how you speak to your mom. We act out. What they're doing is what we all do. So if you act out something that's unhelpful, that's not helpful. Okay, the next slide of stats. You can grab a screenshot if you want. I'll just draw your attention to the last one. The teen porn category has topped porn site searches for the last 6 years. That's from Pornhub. These are the largest porn providers in the globe. And if you don't know what this is concerning for, let me tell you. It is illegal for people to have sex under the age of 16. But what is being, it's unwise to have it then, just let me put it there, but it's illegal. But what is being encouraged is for the person who is searching out the porn to have pornographic activities with somebody who looks prepubescent, who looks like a teen. We are setting our children up to be sexualized and victimized even when they don't know it. Okay, the next slide. Recorded child sexual exploitation, which is known as child porn, is one of the fastest growing online businesses. People want to see this. There is a demand for this. This is why children are being stolen and trafficked in order to feed a demand that could be happening anywhere around here. There's a huge number on there about how much porn was consumed in 2018 alone. I had to look this number up just to have nowhere to say it because I couldn't read that number. It was too big. 5,517,000,000 in 2018 consumption things. This is a huge amount. In the next slide, the world's largest free porn site also received over 33,500,000,000 site visits during 2018 alone. You can do the maths of how much that is, how many people are locked up in a problem that is causing them to feel shame and to be trapped. Let's talk about our brains for a moment. Because they're an amazing thing that God has created, absolutely amazing. And we've just got a little bit of a challenge of what's going on with our brain. So porn impacts the brain. Let me tell you briefly how this is. And I'm not pretending to be some neuroscientist. I've just read a lot and talked a lot about porn in the last 2 years. So here's what goes on with the brain. We have a thing at the front of the brain called the reward center. The reward center releases dopamine for something that is pleasurable. So this could be eating chocolate. Could be going to sleep. It could be, you know, we get this release of something that's pleasurable to us when we're doing something we like. But it becomes addictive. So you know this with drugs. You've heard of gateway drugs. So you have the softer end of drugs that seem a mild and easy access. And you can get access to these, and these release the dopamine in the brain. And then that makes you feel good, and you have what's called a high. And then the next time you go back, you have another one. But after a while, that drug no longer stimulates the brain in this way. Is this right, doctor? No longer stimulates your brain in that way. So you go to a harder drug and a harder drug and a harder drug in order to just get this hit, because by then you're addicted. Now, we have the same thing that goes on with porn. You have an access point to porn, and there is so much out there, it is mind-blowing, but you have so much easy access to porn. It really is one of the easiest things to stumble across. And a lot of children aged 9 and 11 are stumbling across it. They're not necessarily searching out, but nonetheless, they stumble across it, and it releases something in their brain that they think, oh, I feel quite good about this. This is good. And so then they're watching it and getting this feeling, and it's feeling good. But after a while, they no longer get that same feeling from that same, and that no longer get the same release of dopamine from what they're seeing. So they have to go for something a bit more risky, and then a bit more risky, and a bit more risky. This is how come you can get somebody who's suited and booted and looks really normal, who suddenly gets arrested for paedophilia, because actually what's gone on has escalated. Now, not every porn user becomes a paedophile. You know, that's important to say, in the same way that not everybody who drinks a glass of wine is going to become an alcoholic. But it is addictive. And it sets you on a path that can lead to things that are not healthy. And I know somebody in jail right now at this very minute, in jail because of paedophilic porn, who you would never have thought would have become addicted to that. But because of sex addiction and this sort of the easy on-ramp, the gateway was opened, and there they are. Porn addiction is addictive. It can escalate. Now, porn usage can impact physical, emotional, relational, spiritual health. The number of guys presenting to doctors with erectile dysfunction is on the increase. absolute increase, and doctors are automatically prescribing in order to help. But the reason why this is on the increase is because people are getting stimulated to the hypersexuality on the screen and cannot then get the same arousal from a normal human body that doesn't do what they want it to do within 6 minutes, because that's the average length time of a porn visit. So it's difficult for guys to then be able to perform what they want to perform because it's not normal. And this is a problem. But this is the great news of God. You see, you know in the scripture it says, renew your mind. This is the amazing thing about how God's created us. You see, we change the information coming in. We change the stimulus. We change the neural pathways by thinking on something different. It's why Paul said, think about that which is good, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is holy. Because the more we think on that, the more our neural pathways can reconnect and we can break addictions. We can break free. We don't have to live under this weight. But we have normalized it. And honestly, from the deepest part of my heart, we owe our young people a huge apology. I am so sorry we've normalized so much junk in your world as if it's normal. I'm so sorry we've done that because it is not normal. You deserve better. What is going on is not what God has designed for anyone, but it is not for our children and young people. The adolescent brain starts, shifting when they're 14 and goes on until about their 24, 25. And it is age appropriate for a young person, age 13 or 14, to suddenly be interested in sex. It's age appropriate. We were created to reproduce and multiply. Well, you've got to be a bit interested if that's going to happen. It's age appropriate for children and young people to be inquisitive. What is unhelpful is their only narrative being porn. Their inquisitiveness is not wrong. The narrative that we've given them is. There's a tragic case going on at the minute in New Zealand. You'll have heard it on the news about Grace Milan. She was a British backpacker and she was strangled. And the defence is using the story of rough sex was consensual. I'm sorry, no girl consents to being killed during sexual intimacy. That is not consent. But what has happened, and he is a known porn addict, there's documentation that he went straight onto porn after he'd killed her, because, you know, this craving, this release, because he was an addict. But this is a narrative we must rewrite. This is a narrative that God wants to rewrite. He's always about rewriting stories to bring in grace, to bring in health, to bring in help and hope. Let me read you a really quick testimony of a very courageous woman that I met in Coventry. Her name's Sylvia. I've forgotten her age. She's going to listen to this. She'll tell me off. I think she's 41. I might have aged her by a year, but she's about 41. This is what she says. I was born in a Christian family. Both parents were Christian. I went to church, heard about Jesus, and to a certain extent, I believed and prayed in his name. However, when I was 5 years old, I was sexually abused by a man who lived in our neighborhood. I didn't know exactly what was happening to me, but I knew it was wrong and shameful. I felt it was my fault, so I didn't tell anyone. Then another man from our neighborhood sexually abused me when I was 7, and he showed me pornographic playing cards. I felt disgusted by looking at them, but at the same time, curious. So by the age of 18, I was sexually abused, raped, and introduced to pornography. And I learned to masturbate by watching pornography. Then I went into wrong relationships. She goes on to say that she got married, she had children, but she was still addicted to pornography. Sometimes she says she would be making love with her husband, but thinking of pornographic images in order to be able to be sexually intimate. She hated it, and I was ashamed, she said, that I couldn't even share this with my husband. I tried everything to overcome it, but nothing worked. Eventually, I told my husband, and he forgave me, but there was always temptation for me when I was alone. In 2018, I found out from a counselor that I suffered from PTSD and had been the victim of sexual abuse, and she was so upset. She cried, and for the very first time, realized that she had been a victim. So in 2018, she went to a Christian conference, cried out to Jesus, and heard a gentle whisper say, "Come to me." She was healed. She goes on to say that one of her key verses is from 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God." Sylvia is courageous and now free, but she had a journey from 5 to 40 before she discovered her freedom. So what are we going to do about this in Watford? Jesus is inviting us into a transformational story with his love. And a lot of it is happening outside of his church, under his power, but outside. And let me tell you why. We are working together in Watford to build a better story for our young people and safe spaces where they're not going to be exposed to porn, where they're not looking for it and protected from it if they are. And we're going to set up a declaration, a promise that we're all going to agree to. We're in the process of doing that. Dignify is a new charity that we're setting up to really tackle what is going on, and we are going to protect our young people, and we're going to end bystander bias. We're not going to be like those three people who walked past in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan, who walked past the bleeding individual and ignored him. We're going to ignore no longer. We're going to stop. We're going to pause and say, for the sake of our children and young people, we're building a better narrative. And I can tell you, we have got unprecedented favor. God is up to something. He is utterly up to something, and let me tell you why. For the last 2 years, I've been waffling my way around Watford talking about porn with every civic leader who will listen to me. And every civic leader is happy to talk about this and happy to be part of this conversation. And because we're focusing on our young people, everybody is happy to say this is important. And the week before last, a couple of us on the Dignify team went into the girls' grammar school where the head teacher hosted a conversation for me, where senior leaders from the girls' grammar school, the boys' grammar school, and St. Clement Danes were there. And we proposed a survey to them. We want to survey the children and young people in their school to find out the real information about, as much as they're willing to share, about their perceptions and their habit with porn. We don't want to come up with a strategy for what to do about it until we really know what our young people are thinking and doing and saying, because this is for them. So we need to know where they're at before we tell them what we think might help them. So we presented this survey. I could not over exaggerate how incredibly supportive and accessible it was. And those three schools are going to help refine the survey a bit more. Then they're going to pilot it on 5 students each in January. Then because of the head teacher's support of this, they've managed to get me invited and the team invited at Dignify to go speak to all of the head teachers from all secondary schools in Southwest Hertfordshire in February. We're going to go and speak with them. We're going to present the survey to them. And then we're hoping to survey as many students as they will give us access to from year 11 upwards to be able to survey these students. From the back of that, we've promised that we will then do feedback forums for all of the families and all of the schools where they can come and hear what the feedback of this survey is. This week, myself and one of my Dignify colleagues, we went into West Harts College. There are 6,000 in the 16 to 18-year-old range in that college. They are looking at our survey for us to survey their students. We have the possibility of surveying a significant number of children and young people about their habits with porn, because the survey will also go through faith youth groups where we've got permission, the YMCA youth activity where we've got permission, and any other youth venture that's willing to engage in this conversation with us, which so far is everyone we're talking to. We just need more time to get around to talk to everybody. There is unprecedented concern for children and young people. So I've reduced my church hours in order to be able to do this outside of church. And it's important, you see, because as much as I love Jesus and I like talking about Jesus, it's also really important that we can do this without the religious agenda that people suspect comes with church. And there's more access because I'm willing to say, well, you know, I can talk to you about Jesus if you want, but I'm really here just to talk about porn. And there's just access, and there's access because Jesus is doing this. He is changing the conversation in Watford. Then it will go further. But right now, it's happening in Watford. So I'd like you all to do me, it's not me a favour, but it'll be for you. Could you all get your phones out, please? I want you to, there's going to be a slide up in a minute. It says live closed and free, not covered. And there are two email addresses. I want you all to take a photo of this. I need you all to do it. Even if you go home and delete it, because one person in the room might really need these addresses. So if we all do it, no one stands out. So let me tell you about these groups. So PAC is led by Russell. This is a group in the Wellspring Church here for guys. And this is for guys who are influenced and affected by the harmful impact of porn in their life and by porn addiction. And it's an accountability group because, you know, we need support to break habits. Jesus can break the chains, but in order to live free, we then need each other to help ourselves. If you email letstalk@dignify.org, that will come to myself. And we don't know how many people will be needing this, but we're going to start a conversation amongst the women who have been impacted by porn. So girls, women, you can email me. And we will get in touch and we will see where we go. One of the things in schools that is happening a lot is sexting. This is the taking of an intimate photo and this passing it on to somebody that you're choosing to pass it on. But what is happening is that person is 99% of the time forwarding it on to other people. That is passing on illegal material because it's child porn. It's passing on illegal stuff and children don't know this. So porn is impacting girls from a very young age. They're being exploited, so we want to help them. There's a next slide too. We're also going to set up a prayer email. This will come out every week. And if you email pray@dignify.org, we're going to just be sending out a brief email to those people of Christian faith who want to pray for this project. It will be brief, but it's coming out. All other things, if you want to get involved, you can email Let's Talk. And because we need help, and you might have some skills that you think might be useful, or you might just want to get involved. But before we do that, before we help other people, we need to be honest about what's in the room. So statistically speaking, 68% of this church are likely to be actively engaging in using porn. And we're a church that are embracing the grace and the dignified message of Jesus. We're a church that is not judging. We're a church that's bringing into the light something the Lord really wants in the light, because he wants a new framework for our freedom. And you'll remember the woman who was caught in adultery, dragged before Jesus, all these voices of accusation around her, and he drew a new line and said, go and sin no more. An encounter with Jesus was enough to bring transformation because she knew she was loved. And then the challenge was go and sin no more. And I want us to be honest in this room, because the hope of being dignified, being wrapped in the lavash, in his love, in his grace, in his mercy, in his redemption, is the gift he has for us. The renewing of our mind is his plan he has for us. We have that. And you know how in on an aeroplane, you know, put the oxygen masks on yourself before you help others? Well, we get the privilege in church of saying, okay, let's help ourselves, then help others. We get to become healed and restored and also help others. So we're going to, the band are going to come, and we're going to just pause. In a minute, we're going to take communion, which is a beautiful way to come round the table that Christ has set for us. His blood that is for our redemption and forgiveness. His body that was broken, that we don't have to break our bodies because his was. And we get to come into wholeness. But before we do that, I really believe today is a day for chains to break. Supernatural freedom is in this room. That we can choose to leave behind that which has held us. And my friends, there is no shame in this place. Because we've all sinned. We've all gone astray. Every single one of us. But today, this is the Lord's heart for us to break free from the harmful hold of porn. To break free. To leave it behind. But first, we have to admit it. Because we confess our sins to each other. We confess to our Father. We talk to him about it. And as we do, the strongholds can break. And it might feel such a wrestle inside to admit it. But my friend Sylvia, the freedom that she's enjoying now because she finally admitted it, if she knew that she could have received that healing years ago, she would have gone there. But she didn't know she could break free from shame. So as the band lead us, this is your invitation. Close your eyes and begin to talk to the Lord. All of us have been impacted at some level by somebody's porn use, because it could be just affecting the way they look at us because they've looked at it. All of us are impacted. But I want to invite you to talk to the Lord. And as the band lead us, I want to invite you, when you're ready, to stand into freedom and envisage the chains that have held you, breaking them, and they fall with a clunk to the floor. And stand and worship as if you're the freest person that lives on this planet. Because you receive the cloaking of dignity, the lavash from the love of the Lord. And then email us, email Russell, email me, and we will journey it through with you. We will walk you in your freedom to further freedom. But it starts now. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're in this place. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that in you there is no shame. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're drawing us into a conversation that you want us to have for our own sake and for the sake of our children and young people. You want us to have this conversation because you want us free. So right now, Lord, break the chains, make the way, step us into freedom.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.